Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 147 in this series entitled Creating a Holy of Holies in Your Life Through the Four Cubits of Halacha. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, during the winter of 5762.
Good evening to one and all, and welcome. As we continue learning the 53rd chapter of the Tanya, emotionally, it's not easy to give a Tanya class following the horrific news that we have heard from the Holy Land during the past 24 hours. And Nachum Sokolov used to say that Yidden seinen aza am chacham v'navim. Jews are deemed such a wise and intelligent nation. If they're am chacham v'navim, v'alt nargahat abissal aseichel. But I was reminded of the story I once read about the holy Amshinov, Rabbi Yaakov David of Amshinov, who visited the holy Kotzker, Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Kotzk, a short while after the passing of the Amshinov, his father, the saintly Rabbi Yitzchak Varker. And Rabbi Yaakov David of Amshinov lamented to the Kotzker that despite his deceased father's outright promise to him, he still did not reveal himself to his son after his passing. And for the great tzaddikim, we have to realize the border between the physical world and the spiritual world is very, very... very tenuous. It's like the border between the U.S. and Canada. I mean, for us, the border between the spiritual and the physical world is like the border between Israel and Syria. But for the tzaddikim, the two worlds are not too detached, are not really detached. So the Varker, the Yitzchak Varker, promised his son that after I pass away, I will come back to you. I will appear to you. I will show my face to you. He comes to the Kotzker that it's been weeks and months, and his father still did not appear to him in a spiritual vision. So the Kotzker responded and said, don't worry, he will appear. He will come. Indeed, a few nights later, while he was still in Kotsk, he saw his father. He saw a vision of his father who has passed away a few months before that. So the next morning he came running to the Kotsk and he told him, I've seen him. So the holy Kotsk says, in what position? He said he was standing at a river that seemed endless, leaning on his staff and gazing into the depth of the river. So the Kotzker said, "Der Teich is geschaffen geworden von Yiddisha Tränen." This is a river that was created from Jewish tears. Every time a Jew weeps, the tears contribute to this river. And he said, "Your father, when he came up to the next world and he saw the river, he made a vow that he's not going to go into paradise until Hashem dries the entire river." Which means until every Jewish tear is not dried, he's not going into paradise. Well, the tears of the Jewish people during the past 24 hours alone are enough to create a river. So many families in Jerusalem and in so many other cities. And I was talking to somebody on Mitzvah Shabbos. And it's difficult as Jews living far away to deal with this horror, with this daily horror. There's actually a Jew, his name is Morgan Stern, and he's a seventh generation from the Kotzker Rebbe. Son after son, his name is Morgan Stern. He lives in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. The Kotzker Rebbe's name was Rebbe Nachum Mendel Morgenstern. So we were schmoozing about these issues, and he told me a story I've never heard. That the holy Reb Kleinemus Kalman of Piasetzna, he was one of the great spiritual masters before the war. He was gassed in Auschwitz in 1944, and his entire family was either shot or gassed during the dark years of the Holocaust. He and his family were in the Warsaw Ghetto. He was a Rebbe, a spiritual master in Poland. He's known for his books, Eish Kodesh, The Holy Fire, a book on education. He was a great educator. Chayves HaTalmidim, The Duties of the Students. I mean, it's an extraordinary piece of work. It's a Hasidic approach to education. And when he was in the Warsaw Ghetto, he wrote a sefer. He wrote a diary, he would write diaries, and he wrote Torah. So a Jew, and he had a daughter that was killed in the ghetto, and he had a son that died in the ghetto. So a Jew, a friend of his, and he recorded the story, the Kleinem is common of Piasetzin, said, "The Rebbe, what are you doing? Nobody's coming out alive. What's Schleipster Smarim? It's just a waste of your time. What are you doing?" So the Piasetzna looked at him and he said as follows. He said, "Hashem is going to do what he is going to do. But I have to do what I have to do. And I have to write Torah." He said, "Hashem is going to do what he's going to do. But the Jewish people have to do what they have to do." And he wrote a sefer and he buried it. And he added a note that if somebody finds it, he should send it to this relative who lives in the Holy Land, who was living then in the Holy Land. It was his brother. And he buried it, and it was found. And it's published today. Eish Kodesh. His sefer Eish Kodesh is that book. Plus another sefer called Save Zeros, which was also written then, I believe. Save Zeros, and it's translated into English, I think, with the title "To Heal the Soul." To heal the soul. That's what the Plenumus Kalman said. So we have to do what we have to do, and certainly the spiritual weapons of Torah and Mitzvahs can serve very useful and effective during these very, very challenging days. Now, as a little anecdote of introduction to the topic we will be dealing with today, is the story I once heard about an enlightened Jew, a maskil, as they used to call them, maskilim, who was very sophisticated and very frustrated by the old-fashioned obsession with religion. He was extremely enlightened, and he became absolutely secular, abandoning his religion. But his children have been inculcated with the faith, so he tried to eradicate from his children this faith that he had deemed ridiculous and absurd and so forth. So each night he would debate with this young boy, and he would say, there's no God, there's no such a thing as Torah, there's no such a thing as Sinai. It's all rubbish, it's an invented fairy tale by religious fanatics that has been passed on throughout the generations. And the boy, in his innocence, refused to believe his dad. And he was really frustrated. So once he decided, a brilliant idea. One night, as his child was sleeping, he took a scrap of paper, and he wrote on it a little note, God is nowhere. God is nowhere. And he put it under his boy's pillow. He thought, right, the boy will see a note, a mystical note that came in the middle of the night. Finally, he'll begin believing that God is nowhere. I don't know who he was supposed to believe the note came from, but in any case, Kashaf Amais. God is nowhere. The boy wakes up in the morning. His father's eating breakfast. He runs into the kitchen with this little note. With excitement, he says, Tati, you won't believe the note I received last night in the middle of my sleep from heaven. It reads, God is now here. Now, in this chapter, in the final culminating chapter of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe discusses three possible modes in which the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, can dwell in this physical world. And these three modes have come to expression during three eras of human history, during three periods in the history of our civilization. The first mode, during the period of the first Beis Hamikdash, the first temple, from the year 29-28 since creation until its destruction 410 years later in the year 3408, 3408 years since creation. The second mode of the expression of the Divine Presence in this world played itself out during the era of the second Beis Hamikdash, the second temple, from the year 3408 till 420 years, till it was destroyed in the year 3828. And the third mode played itself out and plays itself out during the present time of exile since the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash until today, when we are sadly still present in a dark and bitter exile. And these three modes, we understand from the Alter Rebbe, created the central consciousness that pervaded society during that particular era. In other words, the mode in which the Shekhinah was present in the world during particular periods of time created the paradigm, the perspective, the Weltanschauung, the world philosophy of the entire society during that era, which is a fascinating concept. Whether you were a human being who chose to mold your life by that consciousness of the Shekhinah, or even if you were a human being who chose to reject the Shekhinah that dwelled during that period of time, but what you had to reject, what you had to fight with was that level of consciousness. In other words, the Shekhinah created the paradigm for the generation. Either you embraced it or you fought it, but you fought with it. So, right, that's what, exactly. When you even the rejection, for example, during the first temple era, was spiritual. It was a rejection through spiritual means. You needed an alternative path in spirituality, because that was the the in thing. That was the consciousness of the generation, as I will mention in a moment. During the era of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah, the divine consciousness, the divine energy as it assumes a mode, as it assumes the mode of being the soul of the world. That's what the Shekhinah is. Divinity as it is defined as the soul of all of the worlds. So the revelation and indwelling of Shekhinah during the time of the first temple was the Shekhinah, the level of Shekhinah as it is in the world of Bria. The level of Shekhinah as it is experienced in the world of Bria, it dwelled and manifested itself conspicuously in the Beis HaMikdash, in the shrine of the Holy of Holies in this world. In this world, in one corner, in the western section of the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash on the mountaintop in the holy city of Jerusalem, dwelled the level of Shekhinah that is experienced in the world of Bria. During the Second Temple era, the level of Shekhinah that was revealed in the Holy of Holies in the physical world was the Shekhinah as it is experienced in the Heichel Kodshei Kodashim of Asiyah, in the three faculties of Chachma, Bina, Das of the spiritual world of Asiyah. Not Bria, not even Yetzirah, but in Chabad of Asiyah, which is known as the Holy of Holies of Asiyah. The Shekhinah that is experienced in the Holy of Holies, in the Chachma, Bina, Das of Asiyah, that was present in the second Beis HaMikdash, in the shrine of Holy of Holies on the mountaintop. After the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, what is experienced and manifested in this world is the level of Shekhinah of Malchus Da'asiyah. The faculty, the lowest faculty, Malchus of the lowest world, the world of Asiyah. The Shekhinah that is present and experienced here, that dwells in this world where there's no Holy of Holies anymore. So the Gemara said in Brachas, Mishacharav Beis HaMikdash, Dav Chesam and Aleph, Ein Loyla HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'ilome Yeladalad Amas Shel Halacha Bilvat. Since the destruction, Hashem doesn't have a place in this world but the four cubits of Halacha. In other words, the complex, the home that Hashem has in His world now are the four cubits of Halacha, which essentially are a traveling mobile Kodesh HaKadosh. Wherever the Dalad Amas Shel Halacha are, that's where the Shekhinah is. That's the place where the Shekhinah is. Which Shekhinah? The Shekhinah of Malchus of Asiyah. So the Torah is the substitute for the edifice of the Holy of Holies, and that houses the Shekhinah, again a lower level of Shekhinah as it's experienced in the world of Malchus of Asiyah. These three distinct types of revelations, modes of revelations, create three distinct consciousnesses in the society. So during the first temple era, we know, I mentioned last week at length, the Jewish community was flooded with prophets. Godliness was revealed in the world, particularly in the Beis HaMikdash, in a very revealed way. On the other hand, millions of Jews and non-Jews were steeped into idolatry. In other words, what was the competition to Judaism, to Torah? It was idolatry. What was the alternative for a path of Torah? The alternative needed to be spiritual. It needed to be godly. You had to serve a God. The question was, are you going to choose the living God of Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, the living God of the Jewish people? Or are you going to choose shallow gods, easy gods, false gods? But you have to have a real God that you worship, that you connect. Because God can't... like you always like saying, the God consciousness was the consciousness during the first Beis HaMikdash. Even if you're combating it, but you have to combat that type of consciousness with an alternative God. And that's why idolatry was the fashion of the generation. You need to get, right, you needed to get cosmically plugged in, one way or another. Right. In the Book of Kings. Right. Thank you. You read through the Tanakh, it just gives another perspective on the Tanakh. You read through the Tanakh, there was a different consciousness. It was just a different level of consciousness that we don't relate to today. Even during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was still a location in the world where there was an explosion of holiness. A place where it was forbidden to enter, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where nobody can enter besides the high priest once a year. Because there was a revelation of a reality that we are unaccustomed to in our world. During that era, even the second Beis HaMikdash era, which was inferior completely to the first Beis HaMikdash era, there was no prophecy. We still had a taste of something that is beyond this world. Chabad of Asiyah. And thus there was also a certain intense obsession that characterized the people of that generation, a metaphysical obsession. Because there was a consciousness that was metaphysical that was still present in the world. But since the destruction... During the second Beis HaMikdash, you had metaphysical philosophy that was extremely pervasive and successful. An explosion of the deepest levels of Torah Shebaal Peh, of the Mishnah and so forth. It's an interesting point you're making, but it's a different subject. Then you have the era after the Churban. Since the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, there's no such place in the world anymore. There's no place in the world of Kodesh HaKadoshim that is a home to a Shechina that is higher than the world of Asiyah. That is, that comes from Chachma bin Adas of Asiyah. Now, the Shechina is present, but it's eclipsed in the garments of nature, history, economics, diplomacy, politics, human progress, business. This is the Shechina as it descends from Malchus D'Atzilus into Malchus of Bria, into Malchus of Yitzira, into Chabad of Asiya, into Malchus of Asiya. And the Shechina that descends into Malchus of Asiya, when it's communicated into this world, it's eclipsed in the garments, in many, many garments of nature. It vitalizes a natural world. It creates a consciousness and a world that totally conceals the godly identity and a world that is defined by laws of nature and does not convey, it's not transparent, it doesn't convey a higher consciousness, a higher reality. This Shechina encloses itself in the veils of nature. And you can look at the veils and say, God is nowhere. Or you could look at the veils and say, God is now here. During the first Beis HaMikdash, that didn't exist. You had to change the God, but you can't say God is nowhere. After the Beis HaMikdash, it's not a problem. But even the Shechina in these days has a home. It has a Kodesh HaKadoshim. What is its Kodesh HaKadoshim? Torah. Torah has become the mobile home of the Shechina. Torah has become... But the first Beis HaMikdash, you had the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Aron and the Luchas. Not that. Not only that, you'll see practically speaking in history, the main hallmark of the Jewish religion during the first Beis HaMikdash was not the study of Torah. It was the experience of Torah, it was the experience of godliness. If you want to put it this way, during the first Beis HaMikdash, they were much busier with Kabbalah than with Nigla. They were becoming prophets. They were hearing the voice of the Divine. During the second Beis HaMikdash, it started, the explosion of Torah Shebaal Peh began. You had the Zugois, the Prushim, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah before, and you had the beginning of the Mishnah, the Tanoim that ultimately authored the Mishnah. The Tanoim whose views were recorded in the Mishnah. But after the Churban Bayis Sheni, that's when Torah tradition, the oral tradition, exploded. The Mishnah was authored, the Gemara was authored, the end of the Tanoim, the Amirayim, and throughout Golos, Torah became the home for the Shekhinah that travels together with the Jewish people in their wanderings and exile, and it carries the Shekhinah. It is the abode, it is the seat, it is the home of the Shekhinah. Which Shekhinah? The Shekhinah of Malchus Da'asiyah. Torah became the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And as the metaphor the Alter Rebbe explored at length, Torah today to the world is what the brain is to the body. Now when you say, what was the function of Torah in the Beis HaMikdash? It was also Torah. But the question is the format of Torah. There the format of Torah was the Luchos HaBris. In the higher worlds also, the home for the Shekhinah in every world is the Chabad of that world, the Chachma Bina Das of that world, the Chachma, the Torah of that world. You understand what I'm saying? So it didn't change. It's not like the Torah suddenly became the home. The Torah was always the home for the Shekhinah. But Torah exists on a myriad of levels. You have the Torah of Atzilus and the Torah of Bri and the Torah of Yetzirah, the Torah of Asir. And the significance of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is that there was the Torah, the Aron and the Luchos. That was the Torah. That's its significance. But now we don't have that. But we have the traveling Torah, the literature of Torah. And that's the home. And the metaphor of the Alter Rebbe, the Torah to the world is what a brain is to a body. Just like in the brain dwells the soul that invigorates the body, the Shekhinah of the body comes into the brain, and then the brain allocates its prowess and its energy to the remainder of the body. Torah in this world is the place, so to speak, where the Shekhinah of the world dwells. It's the brain of the world. It's the central nervous system of the world. And through the Torah, which is the home for the Shekhinah, it's allocated to the entire universe, to the entire cosmos, and everything containing in the cosmos. But it's transmitted, it's the Shekhinah of Malchus Da'asiyah, which is transmitted through many, many garments and veils, and that's the Shekhinah we have to become familiar with today. And that's the challenge of the Jewish people in exile. And it's significant that this is the theme of the 53rd chapter, because as we shall soon see, it's the Beinoni, the hero of the Alter Rebbe, who really takes on the challenge to pierce through the layers and live in a world where you can easily say God is nowhere and transform it into the configuration of God is now here. His instincts may deny God, and his appetites deny God, and his animal soul denies God. That's the Beinoni. The Tzaddik really is a throwback to Bayis Sheni or Bayis Rishon. He's the saint. Many levels, of course, in that as well. But let's have patience. And therefore, the Torah is like the brain. So, just as through the brain, I mean, the metaphor is a significant metaphor on many levels, but just a few major points. One point I said, in the brain you have the soul, in the Torah you have the soul of the world, the Shekhinah. If you want to access your soul, you need your brain. The arm and the leg are very significant, but without a brain, they will not have a soul in them. If you want to access the Shekhinah in the world, you need the Torah. You need Torah to access the Shekhinah. If you want to live with your soul, you need a brain. We all know that. If the brain is not functioning, heaven forbid, your body can't live with its soul. Because the brain is the home for the soul. The soul marries the brain. The soul does not marry any other part of the body. Through its marriage with the brain, it connects to every other part of the body. If you want to live with the Shekhinah in this world, you need to have the Torah. Right? Then, just like the brain, Torah is the central nervous system of the world. It allocates all of the spiritual divine electricity to the world. Next, just as through the brain you understand your body, you appreciate the role of every single part of your body, it's only through your brain that you discern You understand the role of every single component of your body. The same is concerning Torah. Through Torah, you have a perspective. What is the world? You understand the world. And you understand the role of every element of the world and of every human being in the world. It grants the world coherence, symmetry, destiny, purpose. That's the role of the Torah. And that's what we have today as the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now let's continue inside, because we are mamish in the middle of this discussion in chapter 53, on page 148. Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, in the center of the page, mamish the center, the line begins with the word Va'asiyah. It's like a little bit of below the center of the page, the line begins with the word Va'asiyah, 148. We are at the word Ki. The Alter Rebbe said, in these few lines, if you take a look, a line, two lines before, he says that Echad sheyoshek v'oisek b'Torah shchina shruya imay. The Gemara says in Brachas Davov, even one human being who sits and learns Torah, the Shechina dwells with him. So he explains, what does it mean that the Shechina dwells with him? It means the Shechina of Malchus Da'atzilis, as it evolves into Malchus of Briya, into Malchus of Yetzirah, into Malchus of Asiya. That Shechina is there with him. The Shechina, as it evolves to Malchus Da'asiya, that Shechina now lives with the human being, with the Jew who is learning Torah. So now the Alter Rebbe explains this. Ki, because Taryag mitzvah haTorah, the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, Rubon kekulon hein mitzvahs ma'isiyus. By and large, they are precepts which involve action. Most of them, almost all of the mitzvahs recorded and discussed in the Torah involve action. Therefore, why is he saying this? Therefore, the Shechina that lives in the Torah that we learn, the Shechina that is expressed through Torah, that dwells in the Torah, that is manifested in the Torah, in the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, what is Torah? Torah basically is either the 613 mitzvahs, or an explanation on the 613 mitzvahs, or expounding the 613 mitzvahs. And most of them involve action. So therefore, the Shechina that is expressed in Torah must go through Malchus of Asiya, because the Shechina, when it enters Malchus da Asiya, it assumes properties of physical action. Until it reaches Malchus da Asiya, it is not custom made to invigorate, to create physicality and materialism. Thank you. So since Torah is Asiya-centered, Torah is Asiya-concerned, Torah is a document that is practically oriented, most of the mitzvahs involve physical action. So the Shechina that is expressed through Torah and lives in Torah is the Shechina as it passes through Olam Asiya, because that's what you're learning in Torah. You're dealing with the world of Asiya. You're dealing with the world of action. So the Shechina that you get through it is a Shechina that goes into Malchus of Asiya. The Shechina that connects to the world of Ma'isa. And he adds, V'gam atluyiz b'dibru machshava, even those mitzvahs of Torah that are fulfilled by word and thought, Kimai, for example, Talmud Torah, the learning of Torah, Birchus Hamazon, benching after meals, saying grace after meals, Kriya Shema, the recital of the Shema in the morning and in the evening, Utfila, the mitzvah of davening. These mitzvahs are not mitzvahs that involve physical action. The study of Torah is a mitzvah connected to thought. It's a mitzvah connected to speech. And therefore, apparently, the Shechina that is expressed through these mitzvahs is higher than Malchus of Asiya, because you're learning about mitzvahs that transcend physical action. So the Alter Rebbe says, no, Hakai Malon, it has been ruled, the halach is, the hirur lav kidibur dami. That hirur, thought, meditation, has not the validity of speech. It cannot be deemed equivalent to speech. And one does not fulfill one's obligation by meditation and kavana, thought alone, until he gives it utterance with his lips. The kaimalon, and it has been ruled in halacha that the motion of one's lips while one is speaking is deemed action, it's deemed maisa. Dr. Rebbe here says two kaimalons. He's referring to two separate gemaras. Famous gemara, brachas, daf chafa medbeis, there's an argument between Ravina and Reb Chisda. If you can fulfill the mitzvah of reciting Shema through meditating on the Shema, comes the time in the morning when you have to read the Shema, you meditate on the Shema. You think about the message of the Shema, the theme of Shema, the idea of Shema. Ravina says it's fine, Reb Chisda says no. Ein yoytze, you need to actually utter the Shema. And that's the halacha, hirur lav kedibur dami. In halacha, we paskin, the verdict is that meditation and thought does not have the power of speech. It cannot serve as a substitute in lieu of speech. Of course. 1 second. Why he brings learning Torah, Berachos, Amazon, Krishna, and Tefillah, these four examples, I don't know. It's a good question, I don't know. It's a good diyuk. Now there's another Gemara. In Baba Metzia, Tav Tzadik, an argument between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. There's a mitzvah leisachsim shor b'dishay. You're not allowed to place a muzzle on the mouth of your bull while it is b'dishay, while it is threshing. In other words, it's threshing for you. Allow it to enjoy the produce. Leisachsim shor b'dishay. Now, if somebody does put a muzzle on the mouth of the bull, this person has actually violated a clear prohibition in the Torah. They have transgressed a violation of mitzvah leisasa, have performed something that is purely forbidden in the Torah. And therefore, there's the punishment of lashes of malchus. The question is, what happens if they terrorize the bull with their mouth through utterance? In other words, you scream at the bull, you know, don't eat, don't put your mouth down. So, you didn't do anything. So, Rabbi Yochanan says, Akima svasav hava maisa. The motion of your lips, to scream, you have to move your lips, that's called maisa. In modern day English, we call it verbal abuse. It's an act of abuse. I was only verbal, right? You say, Vasa b'chitana, I didn't do anything. I just screamed at the person. I insulted the person. I terrorized the person. Akima svasav hava maisa. It's a physical action. The motion of the lips is considered a top thought. And halach is like Rabbi Yochanan. So the Alter Rebbe says, even these mitzvahs that involve speech and thought, dibur, thought is not enough. You need speech. If it's speech, it's akima svasav hava maisa. And therefore, even these mitzvahs relate to the properties of asiya. Yes, he writes, Rubon Kekulon, your point. There are a few mitzvahs that, or the introduction to Sefer Achinuch, there are those mitzvahs that involve emotions and involve awareness. I mean, the mitzvah of Emunah, or there's an argument if it's a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, the mitzvah of Yiris Hashem, the love of Hashem, the awe of Hashem, and so forth. That's true. Yichud Hashem, the faith or the knowledge in the oneness of Hashem, and so on and so forth. Right. true? I mean, it requires thought, but not speech or deed. That's what you mean. No dibur and no mais. That's true. That's true. He says, Hatluyiz b'dibur machshava. He doesn't say avas Hashem. That's true. Rubin Kikulo. Now this is an argument. Your Shlokish holds in such a case where you muzzled her, you muzzled the animal, whether it's a he or a her, you muzzled her by voice. Rish Lakish holds you're not liable. Rabbi Yochanan says he's liable to receive lashes because Hakimas Vasav Avamais. This is Rabbi Yochanan Shittim Bab Mitzi. He also says it in Krisis, Daf Dalet. In any case, it's connected to the domain of deed. Most of these mitzvahs. Most of the mitzvahs of Torah. And therefore, also the learning of Torah, which is a commentary on the 613 mitzvahs, which most of them involve speech or deed, is a home for the Shekhinah that is manifested in Malchus of Asiyah. Unlike in the second Beis HaMikdash, where the Shekhinah that dwelt in the Holy of Holies was the Shekhinah that went into the Chabad of Asiyah, but didn't pass through Malchus of Asiyah. The Shekhinah today, which lives in the Kodesh HaKadoshim called Torah, passes through Malchus of Asiyah. Now, the Alter Rebbe continues. These few lines are pretty difficult to understand. V'taryag mitzvahs ha-Torim shevem mitzvahs d'rabbonim b'gematria keser. An interesting concept. The 613 mitzvahs of Torah combined with the seven rabbinic mitzvahs make up the number 620. 613 plus 7 is 620. That's the numerology of the word keser. Keser is chaf is 20, tav is 400, resh is 200. So 400 and 200 is 6 plus 20, 620. It makes up the 613 mitzvahs with the 7 rabbinic mitzvahs. It makes up keser. Shehu Ratzon Elyon Baruch Hu, which is the title which we give to the divine will. Hamalubish b'chachmasi is Baruch, which is enclosed in his wisdom. Keser symbolizes Hashem's will, which is enclosed in his wisdom. Hamayuchad dois ba'ayin sev Baruch Hu b'tachlis hayichud. And they are united. His will, enclosed in his wisdom, are united with the light of the endless one, blessed be he, in complete unity, in a perfect union. So the Rebbe, in his footnotes on Tanya, clarifies what perturbed the Alter Rebbe. Why does the Gemara say in Brachas, Dalet Amos Shel Halacha? Four cubits of Halacha. Based on what is explained above, it's any part of Torah. What if you're learning Shaklavataya? What if you're learning Pilpul? What if you're learning those parts in Gemara that are not relevant to the actual verdict? Halacha is those, the Shulchan Aruch, the code of law that tells us how to behave. What about those parts of Torah that question and answer and refute and bring proofs and only lead to Halacha? Or other parts of Torah? The Gemara says, Ein lei ba'ilam yeladalad amash lalach. Now it's obvious that the Shekhinah dwells in every part of Torah, and whenever somebody learns any part of Torah, that's what the Gemara says in Brachas, in Davav. Echad sheyoshev oisik b'Torah Shekhinah shru yimai. But you still see there's something special about halacha. So this is what Alter Rebbe is trying to explain. That halacha has one additional factor that the rest of Torah doesn't have. Ritzoyne yizbarach. It has not only the head, but it has the crown. It's not only the brain of the cosmos, it's also the crown of the cosmos. Now, we have a tradition, although it doesn't say in Chumash, that there are 613 biblical mitzvahs. Part of the oral tradition recorded in the Gemara, the end of Makos, the Gemara says that there are 613 mitzvahs. What the 613 mitzvahs are? There's a consensus about most of them. But the great Rishonim, the Rambam, has his list of the 613 mitzvahs, and others have their lists, and they vary in some mitzvahs that the Rambam counts, and they don't count, they count, the Rambam doesn't count. Different Rishonim made lists of mitzvahs, the Rambam made a list, Sadigon has his list, the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs G'dolos, the Bahag, Baal Halachas G'dolos has his list. In any case, Sefer HaChinuch has his list, which is based on the Rambam. But everybody agrees there are 613 mitzvahs, biblical mitzvahs. But the Chumash doesn't go through and say, here is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 600, 613. The Rishonim do it. And the Gemara also doesn't do it. The Rishonim do it. The Rambam wrote a whole book called Sefer HaMitzvahs, in which he enumerates all the 613 mitzvahs. A short and a great Sefer. What about the 7 rabbinic mitzvahs? So this is also a Masorah, a tradition that's brought in the Shalah brings it b'shem hakadmoinim, b'shem the early ones, he brings it in Parshas Yisrael, that there are 7 rabbinic mitzvahs. They are usually identified with the acronym Na B'Simcha. Nun Ayin B'Simcha. And the 7 mitzvahs are Nun Netilas Yadayim, washing your hands before the meal, before eating bread. Ayin is Erevin. Beis is Brachos. Saying blessings before we eat is a rabbinic obligation and not a biblical obligation. Unlike grace after meals, which the Alter Rebbe mentioned before, as a biblical obligation. But before the meals, it's a rabbinic obligation. So we have Beis. Then we have Shin is Shabbos. Shabbos is not a rabbinic obligation. It means Shabbos candles. Neir Shabbos, that the women light before Shabbos. Then you have Mem, we just had that. Megillah, festivities of Purim. Then you have Ches is Chanukah, the festivities of Chanukah, and Hey is Hallel. Saying Hallel at special points of the year, special times of the year, is a rabbinic mitzvah. Even though there are more, why are these counted? So it says in Svarim that we count those mitzvahs on which they instituted a bracha, a blessing, and that have no reference in Chumash, no reference in the Tanakh. No besimcha. Netilas Yadayim, Erevin, brachas, Shabbos, Megillah, Chanukah. Besimchas, brachas, Shabbos, Mem, Megillah, Chanukah, and Hallel. 5 and 2, Nunayin, Netilas Yadayim, and Erev. All of them make up Keser, 620. What's Keser? So in Kabbalah, Keser is always identified with will. Why is Keser identified with will? Just as a crown is above the head, it rests upon the head, and it encircles the head. In Kabbalistic and Hasidic literature, true will is understood as supra-rational. It transcends the intellect. The will that we're sometimes accustomed to is, I want because I understand that I should want. Since my mind explains to me these and these facts, thus I want. The mind, the intellect, the reason produces a will. But there is a deeper level of will that transcends the mind. In fact, you want, and therefore you understand that this is the good thing for you. That is a much deeper level of Ratzin that from a Kabbalistic and Hasidic point of view exists in every person. We have those inner Ritzoinis, inner wills that transcend our reason. Inner convictions, inner desires, inner cravings. So that's the Keser higher than the Rosh. That's the advantage of Halacha. Torah is divine wisdom. Halacha is also divine wisdom. It's part of Torah. But it's divine will that is enclosed in wisdom. Halacha ultimately says, this is what God wants. This is what He really wants. This is His desire. And therefore there's something special about the Shekhinah. Although the Shekhinah is there. Although the Shekhinah dwells in Torah, because Torah is Chachma, Torah is the brain, Torah is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's something about Halacha that has also in it the level of will, the level of Keser, and therefore the Shekhinah is there in a special, particular way in the Dalai Lama Shel Halach. And then the Alter Rebbe adds something, which again is difficult to understand. He says, V'Hashem b'Chachma yasad aretz. Now Hashem founded the earth with wisdom. No, what is he quoting? Chapter? Proverbs 3. Mishlei. He's quoting a pasuk in Mishlei. Perek Yates. I'm sorry, Perek Gimel. Chapter 3. But not verse 29, verse 19. So you got 10 verses off. You failed the test. <I'll get that back. laughs> The 9 you got right. Instead of 1, it has to be 1-9, not 2-9. Mishle Gimel Yetes Shleima Melech, in that chapter, as in a lot of the book of Proverbs, he extols, he highlights very passionately the virtue in acquiring chachma, in the acquisition of wisdom of Torah. So he says in the pasuk before 3:18, Eitz Chaim Hilam Achazikim Bavasim Chaim Usher, it's a tree of life for those that hold on to it. Its supporters are fortunate, are gliklach. And then he continues in pasuk Yitas, Hashem bechachma yasad aretz koinen shamayim bitvuna. Hashem has founded the earth with wisdom. He has established the heaven with understanding. So literally the commentators explain, Rashi, the Mitzudas, explain what Shleima HaMelech literally means is that Hashem created the world b'chachma. Through the instrument of chachma, through the wisdom of Torah, he founded the earth. But let's tell you what the Alter Rebbe says. The Alter Rebbe says, Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz, hi teter shebal peh. This symbolizes homiletically Eretz, the earth, the oral Torah, teter shebal peh, the oral law, the nafke m'chachma law. It's derived from Chachmi Lavam to supernal wisdom, as it's written, Zayar, the Ab Yasad Brata, Zayar Chele Gimel Reishon and Vav, the Zayar says, the father begat the daughter, the father founded, Abba, the father, Yasad founded, Brata, the daughter, and this is the inner meaning of Hashem, Chachmi Yasadar. In Kabbalah, it's very brief and it's cryptic, but based on what's explained in other places, it seems like what Alter Rebbe is trying to teach us is thus. In Kabbalah, Eretz, earth,